Sex and happiness both enrich our lives, yet it's surprising how few people can honestly say that they enjoy regular and fulfilling sex or describe themselves and their lives as happy. Host Lori Handlers helps you to experience real intimacy and happiness. You'll laugh a little, learn a little, and we hope put a smile on your face and a smile in your life. Now here's Lori.
Hi, everybody. This is Lori Handlers, and you're listening to another episode of Sex and Happiness, a show about sex and happiness. And today, I'm very excited because I'm actually sitting here in my studio with my guests, which is not normal. Only a few guests come into my studio. Mostly, I record with them over Skype or Zoom, and this is great because we're together, and we're going to be talking about a topic that I actually have watched him develop. I've seen him take it from its infancy to its almost, to its pregnancy to its almost birth. And that is, we're going to be talking about men, the topic of men. And my guest today is Steve Clark. He's a friend of mine. He's a person that runs salons in the Phoenix area. And we'll talk about what salons are. And he's given a great deal of thought to the subject of men and what's ailing men these days. So without further ado, I'd like to bring him in. So Steve, welcome to Sex and Happiness.
It's good to be here, Lauren.
Yeah, it's good to have you. So your topic is about men.
Yes.
You're writing a book. Is it called The Man Book?
It's called The Man Book.
Yeah, The Man Book. And Yes. It's the audience is men or women who love men?
The audience is men who want to heal themselves and become better men. But I think a lot of women would benefit from reading the book too, because they will be able to understand what was going on with these men in their lives much better.
So is this like a men are from Mars, women are from Venus kind of a thing? Or are you debunking that whole John Gray stuff?
I'm definitely debunking that human beings are from different planets. I didn't like that idea at all, but, it sold 12 million books, so
yeah.
It wasn't a bad idea.
It was a catchy title.
Exactly. It sold a lot of books.
All right. So let's roll back. I first met you at a meetup group. You came to something I was doing on sex magic. You came to something that, some presentation I was making, and I met you. And right soon thereafter, you and your partner invited me to something called a salon.
Correct.
So how did you come up with salons? I mean, I was at your first man salon. How did you come up with the idea of salons? And how many have you done? And is this the basis of what you've learned for your book?
Well, we started the salons as a way of filling a gap between some sexuality workshops that I've been going to and organizing.
Mm-hmm.
And they come around every 4 to 6 months. And that seemed like such a long time to have nothing in between. So I was chatting with a friend and we said, we really need this thing, this space to be filled with something to keep the energy flowing. And we came up with a discussion group. And the discussion group is what became the salon. The name salon, and I don't always say it just like an American says it.
No, you don't. Salon.
Yeah. It came from the idea of during the French, almost revolutionary times, when Marie Antoinette would lie in her bed on Sunday morning and all the women who had no power, literally no power at that time, other than to persuade their husbands to do something. And they called those salons. And I was explaining the idea of this discussion group to a friend, and she said, oh, you mean a salon. So that's how the name came about.
I thought they were things that were in the 1920s, where the French intelligentsia would get together at little, I don't think you would call them pubs, maybe cafes, like on the main drag in Paris, and that's where they would discuss new ideas. Like Jean-Paul Sartre would discuss existentialism with whoever. That's what I thought they came from. So maybe they predate that and they go back to Marie Antoinette.
I think it's just a continuation from those earlier times.
But the French came up with it.
There's definitely a French idea. And salon means room in a way in French.
So you came up with the idea of salon. Now, I don't think I was at the first one. I think it was probably at your second or third one. But you've had, in the time that I've known you, you must have had...
We're at about 25.
25
now, I think.
Salons, yeah. Okay. And the topics have been things like the man salon, the woman salon.
Yes.
Intimacy. That's the first one I came to. The
love.
Intimacy.
Sexuality.
Love. Okay.
So the goal is to discuss sex and relationship. And the first one actually dealt with the relationship of a man and a woman in a husband and wife relationship who have to decide, well, who's going to do the dishes and who's going to do the laundry and who's going to mow the lawn and so on. So that was where we began, because many relationships founder on the inability to negotiate those elements. So that's where we started. And since then, we have covered many, many different relationship and sexual issues.
Well, it's awesome. I know that when I go, I have a great time whenever I go. I love the questions that you ask, and I like the format where you have, we start with about 30 people, and then there's times where we break off with one or two others, and so we get to know people a little bit more intimately who we might not have met before. And I've met scads of people at your place who are just delightful human beings.
Yes, and the salon runs for 6 hours, so this is not a 20-minute discussion. This is
not speed dating.
This is a long time. Yeah.
And then it's followed by a party, a potluck and a party, and that's really, and that's awesome too, and a playroom. So you have a lot of things to offer in your beautiful home, and the salons are something that I think has kept a lot of people together. Like there's certain people that if I don't see them for a few months, if I just show up at your place at a salon, there they are.
Yes.
And it's great. It's like coming home. So.
And there's actually a blog that deals with the salons called Steve's Blog Salon at WordPress. And you can go there and look at a report that deals with the commentary that came up at all the previous salons.
Nice. It seems to me that it would be a great thing to do online as well. You know, like a virtual salon.
Yes.
Because when people hear this, when they hear our conversation about it, this could grow into something that you might take the salon that you do on the Saturday and do a virtual salon on Sunday with people from all around the world who want to discuss the same topic.
Yeah.
It's good. It's really good. It's rich. There's a lot to be mined from it.
Yes.
So let me just see where we're at here. Yeah, we can keep going. So let's talk about, so what you have mined from it is this, the notion of man.
I didn't really get that idea from the salon.
Oh.
I had the issues with men long before the salon.
Tell us.
I actually watched it develop and expand the disaster that has become American manhood, and not just American, by the way, Western culture. Suffers from the same problem as the U.S. And I've been watching that develop since the 1960s. And it's just getting worse and worse. And it's heartbreaking to witness.
So the basic premise here is that men don't have any balls. If I were to just simplify the whole
thing. No. I think they had balls. They were born with balls. But... the basic premise is that women have cut off their balls and put their balls in the women's pocket.
Right.
And it's time to get the men's balls back where they belong so that they can become men again.
Okay, great. So this is good. So I agree with you. So we're not in disagreement here. There's not
That's good.
We're not going to have fisticuffs. Like, I really believe, I agree with you. What I'm questioning is it necessary to have a full-scale war with women to take the balls back out of their pockets and so the balls can go back on men? Or is it possible to just have men, like, literally stand up for themselves and claim themselves being witnessed by women so that women get it, that like let go to the hold that you have or something like that. I mean,
it all depends.
Okay.
It depends on the man and depends right. on the woman. Some men are, once they have this pointed out to them, are able to stand up and become a man in the full sense of the word and really just take his balls back. So right. some of them are able to do that.
Okay.
Others are not. And I've got many, many examples of both kinds of men.
Okay, good.
And by the way I refer to a man who's got his balls back and is standing in his full power as a man is a capital M man. And the
capital
man who
M, okay.
the man who hasn't is a small M man.
Small M
so
man.
If you hear me say a capital M man, that's what I'm talking
okay, that's
about.
Good. Well, we're gonna take a break here.
Okay.
When we come back, we're gonna get really into this, like how the capital M men can get their balls back just by reclaiming. I've seen it happen before my very eyes in my classes as well. And then how the small M men, what they have to do to ride into battle to to reclaim. So if you just tuned in, you're listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handler, your host. And I'm here with my friend Steve Clark. And Steve has some really interesting notions about men. And he's writing The Man Book. And we're going to find out more when we come back. So stay tuned. Sexual.
My question for people right now is, if you're a woman who could use a little zest and zing in your arousal response, or maybe you know women or a woman who could use this, because many women say that their feelings of desire, arousal, and sexual satisfaction don't happen as naturally or as often as they'd like. So I want to tell you about Zestra, because Zestra was developed to meet this much-needed option for women. Zestra Safe and a patented blend of botanical oils and extracts, and it's created to help women have increased sexual sensations. Zestra comes in convenient single-dose personal packets. Each packet keeps the essential arousal oils and extracts free, fresh, and safe from light. And with application of Zestra, it starts to work within 3 to 5 minutes. And at about 10 minutes, there's something called the Zestra Rush. And that can last up to about 45 minutes. The great news is that Zestra can be used as frequently as you like during each sexual experience. Now, I'm somebody who believes that all women deserve sexual satisfaction. That's why I do this show, in case you hadn't noticed. So I believe that men and women deserve sexual satisfaction. So if you're a woman who isn't getting that kind of arousal response that you want, please call 877-426-8047. That's 877-426-8047. And please remember to say you heard about Zestra from Laurie Handlers on the Sex and Happiness Show.
Are you wondering what book to read to jumpstart your life, get the best from relationships, attain the deepest feelings of intimacy? Do you want the best sex along with great happiness? Get your copy of Sex and Happiness, The Tantric Laws of Intimacy by Laurie Handlers right now. You'll learn how to make love in the unknown, take the performance anxiety and reaching a goal out of sex. You'll learn subtle ways of communication and really important practices to empower you when dealing with an intimate partner. You'll let go of blame and struggle. Doesn't this sound great? Sex and Happiness puts the innocence back into sex and gives Tantra the respect it deserves. Take charge of your life, physically, emotionally, and spiritually with Sex and Happiness by Laurie Handlers, only $19.99 paperback and $14.99 ebook. Order your copy today by going to butterflyworkshops.com. That's butterflyworkshops.com for your copy of Sex and Happiness.
I want to talk to you about the craziest and most inventive sex toy or sex enhancement that I've come upon in a long time. It's called Love Rider, L-U-V-R-Y-D-R. That's L-U-V-R-Y-D-R, Love Rider. So I know the couple that invented it. They never intended to invent it. They stumbled upon it. And isn't that how most things go in life? The subtitle to Love Rider is Grab the Bar and Ride Your Lover Wild. And I want to tell you that I've had multiple experiences with Love Rider. I've taken it all around the world, and I've had lovers experience it. I've given it to them overnight and told them to come back and tell me their experience with it. And every one of them comes back with a raving report. It's a harness that the person receiving puts around their shoulders, either forwards or backwards, whatever. It depends on what position you want to use the Love Rider in. And the person who's giving, the penetrator, takes the handlebar like they're riding a horse, and they lean back, and they get amazing angles of penetration from using this device. It's hard to describe, but I want to encourage you to go there and look it up. Listen, my lover gave it a 5.5 stars out of 5. That's all I got to say. So go to loverider.com and look for this beautiful invention. And you can use my name if you call them, or you can use my code Butterfly Workshops, letting them know that you heard about Love Rider through me. That's loverider.com. LUVRYDR. We're back with Sex and Happiness, and I'm Laurie Handlers. And again, today we're talking about men. And we're talking with a man who's written a book called The Man Book. And it's not published yet, but it's coming out soon. So he'll probably come back on again when the book is out. But we're getting, this is like a sneak preview that we're getting today. And the wisdom that Steve's gathered over the years, he's been looking at this since the 60s. So I think I've been looking at it too since then, but I was taking the balls.
Yeah, I think I've been there when you've done that a couple of times.
What I realized recently about myself, I have to just say this for all, you know, to clear my name. What I realized is that when I first became a member of the women's movement, what I was fighting for was really women's equality in terms of the pay scales. Of if women were doing the same job as men, then they should be equally paid. What it turned into was a free-for-all, like just saying things to men. Like I can remember sitting in a bar going to light a cigarette, and a man would rush over to light my cigarette, and I would go, "What, you think these don't work, my hands?" You know, or I'd want to open my own car door. I mean, now I really like it when men open my car door, but at the time, there was, it just seemed like the only way we could, women could reclaim their power was to just be shouting and angry and burning bras and doing whatever they had to do. And to take back the night, you know, like to stop being attacked on city streets or whatever. There are many things. Now, being who I am now, I realize that a lot of men who come to me, a lot of men that I know, a lot of men that you know, that we know in common, just simply cannot stand up. They're what we would call pussy-whipped. Whether they have a partner or not, they're just kind of like not in their power. And so they're not even attractive. They're not attractive to women. They're not attractive to themselves. They're like just, they're in this state of blah. And I have taken responsibility and apologized. I want you to know that I have done that.
I have not seen it on the front page of the New York Times yet.
But I have done that. And I also feel, too, and I'll just say this for myself, that I have a highly developed masculine, healthy masculine in myself where I can hold space for groups of people and lead courses, and that sometimes is off-putting to men because I have as much power as they do in the masculine sector. I also have as much power as any woman in the feminine sector. It's just sometimes that one is, that's not one of the skills that's seen as often in terms of my workload, et cetera, what I have to do. So
let's go back to the beginning.
Yeah.
The fight, I believe, was for equal rights. You commented on money and for work.
It was.
It was a much broader brush than that. It was a fight for equal rights.
Yeah.
And it's a fight that had been going on for a couple of centuries at least.
Right.
With marital dissolution rights, rights in divorce, for example, with voting rights. There was a long list of rights that women needed. But what happened was that the fight for rights was won essentially by the late 60s into the 70s. Some pay still is not equal by certain measures, but
right.
if you put into the equation other elements, maybe it is.
Okay.
So let's assume the fight for equal rights is over. But the fight changed. It morphed into a fight to change men. To
right.
say, you are a man and you're broken. You're what you're doing to us is oppressing me. And, you know, the first thing I remember in the middle 60s was the coining of the phrase, a male chauvinist pig. And women trotted that out constantly. It didn't matter what decision a man was making, decisions that a man might have made for the last 100,000 years, all of a sudden when he made that decision, he was being a male chauvinist pig. And in the book, I comment about if men now had a campaign to call women braying stupid hyenas, that wouldn't go down so well. But back in the day, men were too polite to say, cut this out, and it stuck. And that then became, you need to be more in touch with your heart.
And your feelings.
You need to recognize your feelings. And all of a sudden, the men became girls. And they lost their balls because they let the women take them away. And at the same time, women had to step up because now there were no men to do this. They stepped up at work. When they came home from work, they couldn't stop being masculine.
Right.
And the people who lost out the most in this movement were the women. And so many women, if they're still with a man, he's probably the third man that they've been with, and they're not happy with him either. And so the women have really paid a huge price. It's an unintended consequence. They didn't set out to do this.
Totally.
But that is where they've ended up.
I agree.
And so I'm trying to redress that balance to say, let's make these small M men capital M. And once they become capital M's, it will allow the women to slip back into a feminine way of living. And then they can get on and enjoy equal rights under the law, enjoy equal rights at work, equal promotion opportunities. But when they come home at night and they're in their house and they're enjoying their relationship, she can be a girl and he can be a boy. She can be a woman and he can be a man. And until we get back there, we'll have a lot of unhappy women and a lot of emasculated sissy men.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do agree with you. I mean, in the sense of it, in order to have the attraction, you have to have those polarities. Unless a masculine woman is with a very feminine man, the polarity doesn't work. You're right, women have lost out because there are no great men for them to be with. Men are like, you're one.
I'm one. There is one left. Here I am.
But
I know that I'm being facetious when I say that. I sound like I am, but I'm really not. And that's because I know what it takes to be a capital M man. And I live that constantly.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to like me. I don't have to like you. We can get along or we can not get along. But I'm always going to be that capital M man who knows who he is, he knows what he wants, he knows where he's going. I've got goals. I've got a train. This is a motif I developed for the book. A man has to have a train. He's got to be on the footplate driving that train to a place that he's chosen. He needs to know where that place is. It can't be some wishy-washy ideal in the future.
Right.
He has to be going somewhere. And if he's not going somewhere on that train, he is lost. Yeah. What's he going to do? Why is he here? What's his purpose?
Yeah, he has to have
a purpose.
He's
completely lost. A man without a purpose is a ship without a rudder.
Exactly.
And that's where we are. And that's why I say I'm a very capital M man, because I know my purpose. I know what I'm trying to do. And no one is going to deflect me from that purpose.
Got it.
I'm trying to show other men how to do that.
That's great. That's really great. And it's needed and necessary, so I applaud you.
Thank you.
Capital M man. It's awesome. No, it's awesome that you've taken upon yourself to do it. I mean, the only other person I know a few men doing men stuff in the world. I've interviewed a few of them. And the most famous one is David Data, mm-hmm. who has the whole thing about you need the polarities. A man has to, like, fuck the woman to God, like, so that she can, like, really feel that he's got his power and he has to stay true to his purpose and not let her knock it off. So I agree with all that. I definitely agree with all that. It's just a question of, how fast can you work?
Yeah, and, you know, I've read every book David's written.
Yeah.
So I get David. Some of what he writes still has a sort of feminine essence to it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's definitely conscious of the fact that polarity is critical. And I don't disagree with any of his conclusions. I think it's just the writing that... It's maybe a little esoteric. It's maybe a little. It has a little feminine essence in it, and I'd like to say to David, look, let's rewrite this sentence, David. Let's not do this. And I've met David. I know him.
Yeah, good. Yeah, I saw him once, and I thought he was good. And I remember reading his book, Dear Lover, which was written to women, and it broke my heart.
Yes.
You know, because I identified with it, and all the women I know identified with it. But that was the beginning for me to switch.
Yeah.
You know?
And there are other great books. No More Mr. Nice Guy is a great place for a man, a small M man, to start.
Yeah.
Just stop being a nice guy. And, you know, we had the Battle of the Sexist Salon. I don't know if you were
at
that.
I wasn't at it.
In the Battle of the Sexist Salon, my first question, right out before we did anything else, I said, so is there a battle? And the women rose up like a monster, all of them, and said, there's a battle when we've not won yet. And I said, well, what do you want? And they said, you know, we want our men to be in touch with their hearts. We want them to be more emotional. We want them to own their feelings, etc. All this feminine stuff. What was so beautiful was that even though some of the men started off actually agreeing with the women, by the end of the salon, I said, so women, where are you now? Do you still want to fight this battle? And they all went, no way. We want to stop the battle. We get it. And in that 6-hour period, they turned 180 degrees.
Wow.
They got it. And the men who'd supported them at the beginning said, oh my God, I need my balls back.
Right.
And it was just incredible.
That's awesome.
To see that change.
I call men like that. I call men with a small M Alan Alderman. I'm sorry, Alan Alderman. I just do. He's so sensitive. All right, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, I want you to give me some of the characteristics of men with their balls.
Okay.
Like what would... So somebody listening could go, that's me. Or they could go... Uh-oh, that's not me. I have a gap. And how they fill in the gap. That's where I want to go. Or if a woman's listening and she knows men, because of course she does and she loves men, she'll be able to take this, you know.
Exactly.
So you are listening to Sex and Happiness. I'm Laurie Handlers. I'm having a great conversation with Steve Clark about men and their balls. And this is a good one. This is for all of you. Everybody who loves men. Every man who loves himself, this is for you. We'll be right back. As a sex and happiness coach, I understand that increased sexual participation intensifies sexual responsiveness and desire, as well as overall health and well-being. My experience with a Sibian has personally increased my sexual response, and I can now train women to use this machine to have peak orgasms as often as possible. I strongly believe this will add to their health and well-being, whether they have a partner or not. The beauty and the miracle of the human body is that it adapts and changes much more rapidly than people change their beliefs or their opinions. The Sibian can make any woman's body
more resilient with each peak orgasm. Sibian is an amazing experience, often described as the Lamborghini of sex toys. If you're a woman and you can get yourself to look at Sibian, you should do so. It won't take away from your partner. It will only add. Trust me on this. I love my Sibian. Go to Sibian.com. That's Sibian.com. Or call 1-800-253-6135. That's 800-253-6135. And say Laurie Handler's told you about Sibian. And by the way, if you do have a partner, ask about Venus for Men. That's Venus, V-E-N-U-S, for Men.
Many times on Sex and Happiness, you've heard Laurie talk about emotional release and how important it is. Well, now you can do emotional release in the privacy of your own home. In Laurie's CD, Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn, she creates a safe and sacred space in which you can do the powerful work Laurie is known for in her sacred sexuality courses. Laurie sets you up with the proper positioning and breathing. Then she guides you through each emotional state to the beat of tribal African rhythms. This CD provides an easy way to do emotional clearing work on a regular basis. Order your copy of Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn today and watch your relationships walk free of emotional baggage. To order the Shamanic Release and Lottie Hahn CD by Laurie Handlers, go to www.butterflyworkshops.com right now.
Do you want to deepen your intimacy while being on the perfect vacation? I'm talking about an all-inclusive vacation with a nude beach, a prude beach, and an exceptional nightlife and plenty of entertainment. In really fun classes every day, I will take you deeper and deeper into couples sensuality, into intimacy, and enhanced communication as the week progresses. I also will offer private or semi-private sessions by appointment. I'll offer sessions in sex magic, G-spot stimulation, female ejaculation, and men's ejaculation choice. When?
October 14th to the 21st, 2017.
Where? Hedonism 2 Resort in Negril, Jamaica. For more information or to book your room, call Tom's Trips at 800-285-0853. That's 800-285-0853. Please book now. I can't wait to be with you in Jamaica.
This is Sex and Happiness, and again, I'm Laurie Handlers, and today we're talking about men. And this is great. I love a whole day of talking about men. It's wonderful. And I'm talking about men with a man. Usually I'm talking about men with women. So it's much better. This is a much more enlightening conversation. No complaints. I always say, you know, in sacred sexuality, if you're God and I'm goddess, we're having a different fight than if you're dog and I'm ho, or whatever people call each other.
Yeah.
I don't like men going to the doghouse. So tell us what the characteristics of men with a capital M. Small M men would have to do what to become a capital M man?
Well, the first thing they have to do, they have to start by understanding that they are small M men.
Okay.
You know, that was a very difficult element of writing the book. How do I tell men? How do I sell a book to a man by saying, you know, you're not really a very capital M man, and you need to develop these aspects of your character in order to become a capital M man. So it sounded critical right off the bat, and that's why I went with this motif of small M and capital M.
Mm-hmm.
So the first thing a man has to do is accept that even though he drives a nice car, he's got a good job, he lives in a nice house, he's paying the mortgage, that he's not there yet. He's got work to do. And that's a tough sell. So that's the first thing. The second thing is, so many of the men that I know don't know where they're going. Even if they've got the car and the job and the house, they've got the trappings of success, and they can hold down a conversation with anyone.
Right.
Those are only the trappings of success. So many of them. I couldn't tell you one right now who actually knows where he's going. What is his direction? What's his purpose? Why is he here? When will he know he's been successful?
And only if he knows where he's going.
He has to know where he's going. He's going to say, that's the destination. When I get there, I'll know. And the men seem to me to be lost. They're wandering around trying to get a promotion at work, get sex with this cute chick in the bar, hang out with their buddies, watching the ball game and getting drunk. But they lack purpose.
Yeah, they don't know exactly what their life's purpose is.
Exactly. So that's a key piece of the puzzle. Another key piece of the puzzle is they have to understand what the relationship between a man and a woman needs to look like. That polarity that you were talking about earlier. The man doesn't make all the decisions. The man might make some big decisions. He might work really hard doing the yard work. He might work keeping the house in good repair. He might paint the inside or the outside of the house. He does things, and that's masculine work. There's feminine work. I know this will not sound popular, but bringing up the children is feminine work. That doesn't mean to say that a man can't do it. I helped raise my kids. I was very much part of their upbringing. It didn't make me feminine, but it was feminine type work.
Yeah.
It's work that requires a very diverse way of thinking, whereas a man is single focus. Yeah. I'm going to mow the lawn today. I'm going to cut down those trees today. I'm going to paint that room today. That's a single focus. That's a very masculine way of behaving.
Sure, sure.
A woman, on the other hand, is thinking, oh, well, I better go and do some shopping because tomorrow we're going to have this for dinner, and I need to get the kids dressed for that thing that's going on this afternoon. I need to make sure that their backpacks are all ready. You know, all these things are going on in a woman's mind. Men don't do that. So there's just a completely different way of thinking.
Yes.
So these men have to understand that difference and being able to live that difference. When they are doing all of those feminine things with a masculine brain, that takes quite a trick.
Yeah.
And a lot of men cannot do it. Similarly, many women don't do so well with the single focus. They get diverted.
Right.
And things don't happen quite as they should.
All right, so those are a couple things. So the men have to go back to single focus. They have to focus less on their feelings and more on their purpose. And do you have a way for them to figure out their purpose? Do you have a process?
No, there's no specific process because I think it's different for every person. And when a man figures out his purpose, it might not stay his purpose for very long. You know, he can change that purpose anytime. Circumstances may compel him to change his purpose.
But he has to know something.
He has to be going somewhere.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's just floundering around. And for a man, that's a very feminine posture for him to be, unanchored to any particular reality. So that's a key piece of the puzzle.
Okay. Go ahead.
He needs to know how to behave because it's the right thing to do. So many men, you talked about opening a car door. So many men won't do that anymore because too many women have said, I'm quite capable of opening the car door myself. I don't care how many times a woman says that to me. I'm going to open that damn door. You can say what you like. I'm going to open the damn door. And so I get that. That's the right thing to do for me, and I'm going to do it. And so I don't have this conversation going on in my mind about, oh, well, will she be angry if I do this? Or will she be angry if I don't
do
this?
No, I don't perceive you as having that.
So that knowing how to behave, knowing what for you, and that might be different from what is right for me, but knowing what is the right thing to do in all these circumstances is a very masculine thing. The debate is over. You've decided this is what we're going to do.
Okay.
So that is another piece of the puzzle. Being able to convey to a woman that you have things under control. You know what's happening.
Yeah, you got this.
I've got it.
You've got it handled.
So I was cooking breakfast on Saturday morning for my daughter and my girlfriend. And my daughter said, oh, Daddy, you're not doing those eggs right. And I said, honey, I've got this. It's okay. I got it. And later on, she said something else that was telling me that I wasn't doing something right. And I just put my hand up in front of her gently and said, honey, I've got it. It's okay. Trust me.
Yeah.
So I didn't let her push me into doing something different. I understood what she was saying. I even understood why she was saying it. But I still had, I knew what I was doing. I knew what I was going to do next. And I just kept on going. And of course, everything turned out perfectly.
Yeah.
Which was
good.
Yeah. Because I would have had some criticism had it not turned out so well.
Yeah. But would you have taken it?
That's no, the criticism, absolutely.
Okay.
You know, you can criticize me all you want. I'm okay if you don't like me. I'm okay if you don't like that thing that I did. Overall, you like me, but you know, that thing that you did, that was pretty shitty. So I don't like that. And I go, okay.
Okay.
I'm sorry you feel that way, but, you know, that's just the way it is.
That's the way it is, right.
So the men have to know. They have to know in their bones how to do this. Another piece of the puzzle is a man has to have men friends. He cannot be a lone wolf. We're social creatures. We've lived for 100,000 years or more in society, and men need other men. And they don't just need males. They need men who'll call them on their shit.
Yeah.
The men who'll say, hey, that was bullshit. Don't do that again. And very often when I say that to someone, they'll say, well, who the hell are you? I say, I'm just telling you, don't do that again. And, you know, they harumph and they don't like it. Nobody likes to be called on their own shit. But I noticed that they don't do it again, which is great.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's really awesome.
So all of these things are very masculine traits that have been subverted and pushed down as men have been asked to do things by the women in their life. And the women had no idea, because a woman has no idea how to be a man. It's like you telling me how to be a cat. You don't know how to be a cat, and you can't tell me how to be a cat, and you can't tell me how to be a man either. So that man just has to know his bones, how to be a man, and be confident that I've got it, I know what I'm doing, I know where I'm going, and you can relax. It's okay. You don't need to tell me what to do. I've got it.
Okay, that's great.
And I have run across men who don't only get that from their wives and girlfriends. In particular, I know certain men who get it from their mother.
So, now I've had experience where I've had men in my classes, they come to like my bliss class, my first tantra class, and they say, you know, I say, what are you here for? What's your intention? And they go, and they go, okay, stand up. Start walking around the room, put your feet down firmly, and tell us what it is that you're here for, like what it is you intend to create out of this day. And I've had men's whole lives change just by asking them to do that, like stand up and make yourself felt in this room. And I've also said to men who are bigger men, like bigger in stature, you know, like the men like Trevini, or men like big, athletic, I've said to them, I bet you hold yourself back in bed because someone like your mother told you that you would hurt women if you bring your full force onto her. And I say, our bodies are meant to hold all that. Like, we want that animal. We don't want a domesticated poodle. Mm-hmm. We want a dragon alligator person in the bed.
Yeah. Well, and since you brought up sex, we haven't got there yet, but yeah. That is a critical piece for a man. And, you know, that so many men, and I've seen a lot of this. Many people don't get to watch other people have sex, but I have done that. And this is a cliche, but it's kissy, kissy, titty, titty, stick it in.
Yeah.
And these men are clueless. And strikingly and tragically, the women are clueless too, because all they've ever seen is men who do this thing. And it's all over in 10 minutes, and there's no emotion in it. There's no connection in it. There's no spirituality in it. So the whole humanity of that sexual relationship has been lost. And so they're going through the motions, and that kind of sex gets old really quickly.
Yeah, in about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
5 minutes actually tops.
Yes, but worse than that. So they get over the 5 minutes, and then another 5 minutes, another 5 minutes. But there's no meat to sustain a relationship over a long term. So the sexuality of the relationship evaporates so quickly. And then if people are not having sex, the relationship suffers enormously. And so the relationship has a high probability of falling apart, which over the last 40, 50 years has resulted in a divorce rate that is off the charts.
Right. It's astronomical.
And it's worse than that, because so many of the people I've spoken to are in relationships. They're still married. They haven't had sex for years.
No.
And they say, well, I can't leave. What will I do with the house? How will I divide up the assets? Who'll do this for the children, et cetera, et cetera. So they're staying in miserable relationships because it's not quite miserable enough to quit and yet not good enough to make them happy. And this is a book about this by Pamela Haig. It's a brilliant, brilliant book called Marriage Confidential, which highlights this specific issue.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. Well, I think I always quote this. In 2004, the cover of Newsweek had two people in bed. It was a cartoon, and one of them had the remote and the other one had their computer. And they were like watching TV in bed, and they were called DINs, double income, no sex couples. I mean, that's what we've come to. That's why I have a job.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why you do too.
Yeah.
At least this is your second career.
Yeah.
It's amazing. And we've got to get back on track. I mean, I don't think that, well, and then there's all this new music where everybody's dogs and bitches and hoes and all this kind of stuff. There's a lot of music that's going on now that young people are listening to, which has no respect for anyone.
That's true. But I will say this about some of that. At least the masculine is being masculine. It's not being very capital M masculine, but at least it's being masculine. There's definitely polarity in that relationship. It's just bad polarity, but it's polar.
Right. Well, it scares me, that being their model. All of it is like, it's lackluster. And so we need what you're doing. We need your work.
Yeah, you know, here's the tragedy. Right now, the people who grew up when I grew up, they were born in about 1950 to 1960. That's the last generation that wasn't affected by feminism. Not affected very much by feminism.
Right.
Because we grew up before feminism began.
Right.
The tragedy is, if we don't train some men to be capital M men now, there won't be any capital M men left in 20 years. And we'll lose the ability to train the next generation of men. And that will be the end of our civilization as we know it. We'll be overrun by some other civilization. Not humanity will survive, but it won't be us.
Right, exactly.
It won't be our culture.
Right, exactly.
So the stakes are very high.
I got it. Definitely. Well, I have a notion about starting something called an academy for men. So we should talk. Okay. We should talk about it. So when do you think, how long do you think it'll be before the book comes out?
I'm hoping it's certainly this year.
Okay, it's 2017.
If anybody wants a copy of it in advance, I'll send them a PDF. I don't care if I don't make a dime off this book. What I care about is our society and our civilization and our culture. And if I can help save it, I'll do that. And to heck with the money. So if one of your listeners would like a copy of the book, I'll send it to them.
That's awesome. So how do they get in touch with you?
They can get in touch with me through my email address.
All right, so give that.
I'm going to spell it. It's Wiganer, W-I-G-A-N-E-R. And then those same letters again, Wiganer@gmail.com.
Okay, that's great. Wiganer@gmail.com. If you lose that or you forget that, you know how to get in touch with me, Laurie@butterflyworkshops.com, and I can get you in touch with Steve Clark. Steve, it's been my pleasure to interview you today about the subject. It's intense.
It is.
It's intense. It's needed and necessary, and I honor you for doing it.
Thank you.
Someone's got to do it.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I hope I didn't get too excited.
No, it's important work, and anyone listening that hears the call, you will hear from them. You don't know when, but you will.
Great.
Yeah. So everybody, thank you so much for listening today. Please tune in next time when I will have another amazing show about your sex and your happiness. This is Laurie Handler signing off. And again, thank you for listening to Sex and Happiness.
Thank you for joining us today for Sex and Happiness. To learn more about Laurie and her work, please go to butterflyworkshops.com or follow her on Twitter or Facebook. You can send her an email at sexandhappiness@gmail.com. We'll see you again right here next week for another edition of Sex and Happiness. Oh.